This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Kelsey Pritchard, and I'm the Communications Director in the Governor's Office. I want to thank you all for joining us. Today, with Governor Dugard, we have Secretary Steve Emery, Secretary of the Department of Tribal Relations. Just a reminder for everyone in the room to use the mics at the table during Q&A. And for those of you on the phone, you can mute your lines now by pressing *6. And during Q&A, you can unmute by pressing #6. With that, I'll turn it over to Governor Dennis Dugard.
Good morning, and I apologize for keeping you waiting. Kelsey was ready and Steve was ready, but I was not ready, and it's been a busy morning. I'd like to begin by speaking about a couple topics before opening up for questions. First, today is State Tribal Relations Day at the Capitol, and this is an annual event that we have to recognize successes in Indian country, discuss best practices, and share concerns, and strengthen the partnership among the state and the 9 tribes that share our borders, as well as with federal program partners. When I became governor, I knew that fostering relationships among the tribes and the state was an important thing, had to be a priority. So the first year in office, I created the Department of Tribal Relations. And 5 years later now, under the direction of Tribal Relations Secretary Steve Emery, who's here with me, we're partnering with tribes and have been partnering with tribes on many different fronts. The highlights this year, of course, one of the major highlights has been working with the tribes on Medicaid expansion. 7 tribal councils have passed resolutions of support, and one more is considering a resolution. I have a pretty high degree of confidence that all 9 tribes will ultimately formally resolve to support this strongly. We just got word this week, for example, that Cheyenne River passed their resolution, and the Oglala Sioux Tribe is expected to pass a resolution by the end of the month. Tribal members have been participating on our Healthcare Solutions Coalition, and they played an important role in helping us form the proposal and understand the reality of Indian health services care. Whether or not we expand Medicaid, the discussions on improved access, substance abuse treatment, behavioral health treatment, and in particular telehealth, I think will provide improvements in health care on our reservations, regardless of whether Medicaid expansion is successful. So I'm very pleased about that. But yet, those improvements would be dramatically better still if we are able to expand Medicaid. So I'm hopeful about that. On another front, the Native American Student Achievement Advisory Council concluded its work this year, and they are recommending a couple of things. One is a $2.2 million appropriation, which would help launch a grant program to fund up to 3 pilot schools, an alternative type school on the reservations aimed at improving academic outcomes for Native American students, and also create a program to assist paraprofessionals who are working in these schools get their teacher certificate so they can continue in a more important role and fill those teaching roles that we need to fill. In the criminal justice area, we've had great success with our tribal partners in the adult system. The Sisseton Wahpeton Oyate is participating in a pilot where the tribe supervises parolees from our prison system and supervises them. And after the first year of that program, 97% of the offenders in that program had not absconded or committed a parole violation. So that pilot has been successful, and I'm hopeful it will serve as a model for a similar kind of thing we can do in other areas. Under juvenile justice reform, we had a focus group established. They've met several times. They recently had their 3rd meeting, and we're looking at ways that the Department of Tribal Relations and the state can work with our tribal partners in juvenile justice areas, just as we're working in adult areas. In the more traditional interactions that we've had in types gaming compacts, for example, we've been working with the tribes on tax collection agreements and gaming compacts. We successfully renegotiated gaming compacts with two tribes, and three more compacts are in the works. We've also renegotiated seven tax compacts in the last 5 years. And finally, of course, in the area of veterans, I invite all of you to attend the State Tribal Relations Day ceremony at noon today in the Rotunda. We're going to honor tribal veterans and remember the Code Talkers who helped the United States win wars. Switching topics, the other major topic I wanted to visit about today is the USS South Dakota. Many of you are probably aware that plans have been underway for construction of the USS South Dakota SSN 790, a multi-mission, nuclear-powered Virginia-class submarine, which would have a crew of 130 sailors. The boat is already under construction and is expected to be completed in August of 2018. And in the coming months, the USS South Dakota's commissioning committee, which is a group of South Dakotans, they will be working to raise funds and organize recognition events for the keel laying, the christening, and the commissioning. And so, of course, the sequence is you lay the keel as you're starting the construction of the structure, and then you have a christening event when it's ready to go out to sea. And, of course, then as it's at sea, you work the bugs out. And once the bugs are all worked, then you have the commissioning event when it's certified ready to go. Sort of like laying the foundation for a house, having the walk through with the architect to make sure you get the punch list of all the things that are bugs in your house, and then finally accepting the keys from your contractor. That's sort of the way to look at it. Next week, the commanding officer of the USS South Dakota, who has already been identified, Commander Ronald Withrow, and four members of the boat's crew are coming to South Dakota. And on Wednesday, they'll be visiting the USS South Dakota Battleship Memorial in Sioux Falls, meeting with veterans groups there and stopping at a school there. In the afternoon, Commander Withrow is speaking to both houses of the legislature. Then they'll head out west to spend some time at Ellsworth Air Force Base and meet with the Rapid City Chamber and Visitor Bureau. I think it's noteworthy that South Dakota has had its name on two other naval battleships in the history of our country. The USS South Dakota ACR-9 was commissioned in 1908, and then the more famous one, the USS South Dakota BB-57, the World War II battleship, commissioned in 1942, the most decorated warship of World War II. And with the new SSN 790 submarine, we'll continue our history of naming our naval fleet's best vessels and celebrate their history of protecting our nation. With that, those are the two things I wanted to visit about, tribal relations and the USS South Dakota. Now I'm open to any questions on any topic.
Governor, you mentioned the great strides that have been made in state tribal relations over the last few years. And this question is for you, both you and Secretary Emery. What else needs to be done? Are there could we do more? Are there areas to grow?
Well, certainly we have many areas where we have mutual interests, whether it be economic development, housing, law enforcement. And I didn't recite all the progress we've made. We've got for example, with Crow Creek, we have a mutual agreement, a memorandum of understanding in which our highway patrol assists tribal officers, police officers, law enforcement officers, and likewise they assist the highway patrol on within the reservation boundaries. When it comes to criminal jurisdiction, some law enforcement has jurisdiction to act in some areas, and other law enforcement has jurisdiction to act in still different areas. And if we can agree to work together, the person who's in trouble shouldn't care and doesn't care what color the uniform is if they're getting help from law enforcement. They just want help. And so we're working together on law enforcement compacts, housing. We have, for example, I think 50. How many houses are going to Oglala?
45 of the governor's houses are going to Oglala, and I personally know some of them are already there and on foundations.
Yeah, and we had breakfast this morning with the tribal president, John Yellowbird Steele, and he's been a good friend to South Dakota, to our state government. When I went down there shortly after being elected, I went down and met him. Since then, of course, the chairmanship has turned over, but now he's back in office after a hiatus, and we get along well. So housing, law enforcement, as I say, we're continuing to negotiate additional gaming compacts or renegotiate gaming compacts that have been in existence but need to be revised or amended. And of course, Medicaid and health care are probably the most important areas and certainly at the top of the list today.
One of the things I'd like to also highlight is we've been going out with Game Fish and Parks, Secretary Hepler, and we visited Rosebud and Cheyenne and Cheyenne River, and they both had mentioned that they were down in turkey populations for whatever reason. So we got together with the tribal resource officers and went out to Custer and captured some turkeys. And those turkeys were released both at Cheyenne River and at Rosebud. So that's another way we're cooperating with the tribes and wildlife as well.
Thanks, Steve. Other questions?
Are there any other areas that aside from the accomplishments, any areas that are really still lacking between the way that the state and tribal governments work together? Any partnerships that still need to be built?
Well, I think there's lots of opportunity in many areas. One I'd name is economic development. Steve has worked hard to get our economic development professionals out to reservations and try to find ways we can assist with economic development on the reservations. We've, for example, or with helping residents find employment off the reservation. Steve's worked, I know, with Crow Creek and with Cheyenne River to see about transportation to help residents on the reservation get transportation to where the jobs are so they can be commuter workers. And a lot of people in rural South Dakota commute to their jobs, and we want to make transportation not an issue for them. So there's lots of areas, I think, where we can work together and improve the lot of our citizens, whether they're on the reservation or off.
Do we have any questions on the phone line? Jennifer, any other questions?
I do. We're starting to see alternative education plans being put forth. Is there anything that you absolutely would not support in these alternative plans?
Well, one thing I feel strongly about as people are looking for alternatives to the plan I'm offering, I do think that as we add additional revenue to support our schools and our teachers, we should also give attention to inequity. And in this other fund revenue situation, you may know South Dakota has a formula which is designed to equalize the situation between a school district that has very low property tax values and one that has very high property tax values. So it doesn't matter whether Johnny goes to school in Faith, which has low property tax revenue opportunity, or he goes to school in Dakota Valley, which has very high property values and can raise quite a bit of funding from those high-value properties. And so the way that it works is the state aid sent to Faith is much more per student than the state aid sent to Dakota Valley. But at the end, after you add the amount that's able to be raised locally, augmented by the amount that the state adds, it equalizes the amount per student. Well, there's several revenue streams that schools get that have not been captured by this equalization. And wind farms, for example. When this formula was created, there was no such thing as wind farms. This was in the mid-90s, and wind farms hadn't come about. Well, those wind farm taxes fall outside the program of equalization, and so they're unfair windfalls to some school districts, and that is not a pun. That is not a pun to some school districts, and it's like all the kids in the car, and one of them has candy, and none of the other kids have candy. Well, and when mom says, hey, Johnny, you have to share your candy with all the other kids. Well, of course, Johnny doesn't want to share his candy. He likes having all the candy. Well, I feel strongly that if we're going to add new money, then we have to seize the opportunity to make things fair. And right now, the way some of these other funds are treated, it is not fair. And so I feel strongly about that. But I think most of the legislators have seen this now and recognize it as inequitable. And the proposal that I've offered would equalize those over a five-year phase-in. Actually, it establishes a first-year baseline, so it's actually a six-year phase-in, the way I've proposed. So there's time to adapt to it so you can, you know, adjust to not having so much candy. You know, find some other nutrition, I guess.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you for joining us.
All right. Thank you, everyone.